prepare both our church, our homes, our life for the biggest celebration of the year, the birth of the one who loves us without limits. Lord, we pray that you would calm our fears, our nerves, the anxieties of our lives right now. And we ask this in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. Well, once again, good morning and welcome. If you're online joining us, a special welcome to you online. I just want to give a shout out to Jean Lee and Joanne and Verna and Artis and all of our dear friends that we wish you were here to join us. We know you watch us every week, and we're so blessed that you have joined us. Well, in spirit anyway, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah, we miss you. And God's peace be with you. Christmas. It's only 17 days away. 17 days to Christmas. How's your shopping going? Did you notice that was a nervous laugh? Especially the guys going, I have no idea what to buy my wife. I don't know. Exactly. Have you been to the stores lately? It's crazy out there, isn't it? Yeah, I went to Great Lakes Crossing. What was I thinking? Should have went in June when it was nice, yeah. But it is busy out there. It's, you know, in speaking of shopping, I know that for so many people, they view the success or even the failure of Christmas, they hinge it on presents. Sometimes the presents you receive, or sometimes the presents that you give. Yeah, we stress so much at Christmas. We stress so much on trying to buy the perfect gift, don't we? Come on, you can admit it. You're among friends. We do, yeah. So I think the issue really is for many of our friends and family and that person that we see in the mirror every morning is that sometimes we have a tendency to forget the real reason for the season, don't we? Yeah. And it's usually at times like this where I try to make sense of what should I be doing? How should I be acting? So I have to go to those great theologians that we have had for so many years. And I got to be honest with you, this morning I had to lean on one of those great Christmas theologians to give me words of insight this morning. And once again,
every who down in Whoville, the tall and the small, were singing without any presents at all. He hadn't stopped Christmas from coming. It came.
Somehow or other, it came just the same.
Mr. Grinch!
And the Grinch, with his Grinch feet ice cold in the snow, stood puzzling and puzzling.
How could it be so? It came without ribbons. It came without tags. It came without packages, boxes, or bags.
And he puzzled and puzzled till his puzzler was sore. Then the Grinch thought of something he hadn't before.
Maybe Christmas,
he thought.
Doesn't come from a store. Maybe Christmas, perhaps, means a little bit more.
Great theologians of Christmas, right? How can you go wrong? But you know, I think, as silly as that is, I think the Grinch has it right. Maybe Christmas doesn't come from a star. Maybe Christmas, maybe Advent really is just a little bit more. Because it is about preparation. That's what this season is all about. It's about preparation. It's not about parties. It's not about gift shopping. It is about preparing for the coming of our Lord. I know it's crazy out there, and I know you're busy. And that's why we're here today. So let's continue to, well, unwrap the gift of Christmas, so to speak. And let's look at just what our Lord has given us, not just today or yesterday, but our entire lives. And that's what this series is about. Last week, we looked at the gift of hope. And we learned how hope is a powerful ally. It's a gift that God has given us to endure those hardships of life. And as we learned last week, there were two key elements to having hope. One of them is hope rises out of a desperate need. That's pretty much a given, right? But it's number two that we really need to focus on is that hope is only satisfied by Christ Jesus. See, 2,000 years ago, our world was in darkness, had no hope, that is, until Jesus was born. Yes, when he was born, he fulfilled that yearning that we had in our hearts. But he also brought peace. And that brings us to today, week two of this series, The Gift of Christmas. In this series, we look at the gifts that God gives us. Each week during this Advent season, we will unwrap another gift that God gives us at Christmas. And as I said, last week was the gift of hope. Today is the gift of peace. But it's not just a peace that you get when you, you don't get pulled over when you kind of ran that red light. But I know no one here would do that. It's not that kind of peace you get when maybe the dinner, you pulled it off better than you thought. But it's an eternal peace. It's a peace that is so deep in your soul that you can't even describe it. So that brings me to a question this morning. What do you think of when you think about peace? I mean, think about that. What do you think? What do you think when you think of peace? Give you peace. Anybody else? What gives you peace? Tristan, where's Tristan at? What gives you peace? When Pastor Mike calls in sick? Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. No, I think knowing that I have my wife to come home to after a stressful day.
Wow, beautiful. See, peace is something that is very personal to each and every one of us, isn't it? Peace comes to us in many different forms, in many different ways. For example, like I was just talking with Kendra, you guys were in Europe. If you live in some of those areas of Europe, peace might be to live in a country where there's no war. For us locally, maybe peace would be living in a country where there's no more hate or bigotry. For some here, especially our younger guys, maybe find a great job. You get peace in that. And for some, it may be the stuff. You get a beautiful house, a nice car. That gives you peace. And for some of us, maybe it's when the kids move out. Yeah. But what does true peace look like to you? You know, I think that's a great question, especially during Advent. So I'm going to challenge you today, perhaps on your drive home or sitting at the dinner table tonight over the next couple days, to discuss what does peace mean to you? To dig deep and reflect on what the answer to what peace means to you. As I say, it's a great question, especially this time of year, because we all seek peace in different forms, because simply it's so busy. It's so hectic. It's so chaotic out there. And I get it. We are running around trying to make everything work for Christmas. Things are getting so, we're trying to just make sense of everything. But it's hard because things are getting pretty hectic out there, right? There seems to be so much noise in the world around us. But the problem is that we all can't go to that place where we find peace and quiet, can we? Don't you wish you had a magic wand where you could just wave it? Wouldn't that be nice? Especially with a 3-year-old, yeah. But wouldn't it be nice? That's why I want to share with you this morning another Advent gift that you have been given. And it's because we're going to discover that peace cannot be found in a place. Peace cannot be found in a thing, but rather it is in a person, Christ Jesus our Lord. So I'd like you to listen to a story about the source of peace. It was written a number of years ago by Luke, as he's describing, well, a pretty normal night. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night, and an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy to all of the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign for you that you will find a baby wrapped in clothes and lying in a manger." And then suddenly, a great company of heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God, saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth, peace to those whom his favor rests." The angel said, "Peace to those who Jesus loves." And that is you. You know, although St. Luke wrote this account, recorded this account, many years before him, Isaiah, who lived 750 years before Luke penned this, wrote very similar words. As Isaiah lived in that time when darkness prevailed, see, the kingdom of God was separated between Israel and Judah, the north and the south. When he wrote, the Messiah would come and bring peace. Isaiah wrote in chapter 9, and I want you to notice something right away. "For to us a child was born, to us a son is given." So let me paraphrase this. "For to you a child has been born, for you a son is given. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, and Everlasting Father. He'll be known as the Prince of Peace." St. Luke wrote this 750 years after Isaiah did. And he wrote, "He is now here. Emmanuel, God is here with us." See, God came to us as a man. Well, as a helpless baby, actually, lying in a manger. Humble, lying in a manger. thus removing the sin and restoring that relationship with us to the Father. That damage between man and God has been removed. Friends, Jesus came to give us peace. In fact, Isaiah gave him the messianic title, the messianic name, the Prince of Peace. He would also be called Wonderful Counselor. And that's important because we can go to him when we have troubles in life and find our answers there. He's also known as Mighty God because he is. The Pharisees, although, looked at this differently. As Jesus said, before Abraham was, I am. And they said, how can you possibly say that you knew Abraham? We might also remember, as Jesus made that declaration, that he used the same distinction when Moses was standing in front of God. And Moses, well, who do I tell them that sent me? God says this. He said, tell them I am sent you. Jesus is fully man, yet fully God. If anybody can really explain this, meet me in my office afterwards, because I can't wrap my brain around that. It is hard to understand. And that's when he told the disciples that all power in heaven and on earth has been given to him. And he is the everlasting Father, as Isaiah said. I mean, think about that for a moment. When we look at Jesus, when we see Jesus, we see the Father, the one with total power over everything. But finally, he is the Prince of Peace. The great I Am is the only one able to bestow peace to all things and everything in your life. So again, what do you think of when you think of peace now? Who do you think of when you think of peace? So let me just try to tie this all together this morning, because typically when we find ourselves, you know, in chaos, in the craziness of life, when we find ourselves in trouble, or when we just simply find ourselves lost and not knowing which way to go, we tend to look every place but the cross, don't we? We go to our friends, we go to our family, we go to our spouse, we go to our kids, we go to everyone. Let's not make Jesus a last resort. Let's make him our first reaction. Friends, being at peace is not the absence of something or some place. In fact, it is the absence of someone in your life. Real peace comes from knowing that you are not alone. Then, at that point, you will know that God has your best interest at heart. He cares that much for you. Because right now, God has brought you here today, both here and online. God has brought you to this moment in time. He's brought you here that maybe for the first time you hear this, or maybe it's a good reminder to know where and when and how your peace comes from. So again, maybe the Grinch was right. Maybe Christmas doesn't come from a store or a car or a house or your buddies or your girlfriends. It doesn't come from a place or a thing, but it comes from a person, and that is Christ Jesus alone. And this is exactly why the angel said to them, do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all people. Because today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. He has come to bring you peace. He has given you hope that he would come, and now he's here. And to God be the glory for that. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we are so taken by the peace that can come from you. We don't understand it, but we often forget it. Lord, I would pray that each and every one of us would come to you first for the peace that, as Scripture says, passes all understanding. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for the person to my left or to my right, behind me or in front of me, because you work through them to bring us peace. For those online, we are so glad that you have joined us. For those who will hear this later, may the peace of the Lord be with you. We all pray this in the precious name of He who brought us peace, Jesus. Amen.